What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. That's right. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. I don't know what that means. Hopefully some of you are humping.
I don't know why hump day makes me giggle.
Is that why Helix Mattress is sponsoring this episode?
Oh, that makes so much sense now.
Well, if you make sure you listen to that promotion ad. We have a fantastic episode for you all. If you are fans of 90210, of which many of us are, including everyone in this room, you will be excited to listen to Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling, legends. Legends. We have a great conversation with him about being on the show, what it was like to do that in their teenage years, the impact on their lives, social media, all that fun stuff. We appreciate them taking the time to talk with me. I was fanboying the whole time, but trying to play it cool. Felt like I did a good job. We got some great merch out there. I'm wearing a t-shirt, tie-dye out there. I feel like the I'm sorry, I'm right.
We've got tie-dye?
Tie-dye.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Get yourself a tie-dye hoodie. It says, sorry, I'm right. I mean, who
doesn't want a tie-dye hoodie.
I want that.
You just wear that in front of your husband or your man and just be like, we also have He's Toxic. So get your significant other He's Toxic hoodie while getting yourself the sorry, I'm right. Go out in public. Have some fun.
And sorry. Show them what you lost.
Yeah.
Don't forget that one. That's
a good one, too. So be sure to check that out, vilefiles.com, and get your merch. And we also have hoodies, sweatshirts, T-shirts, breakup books, all that fun stuff. Support your show. Support your favorite podcast. Next week, we have a fun and, I think, highly anticipated episode. So many of you have been asking us to do an episode on being an introvert and an extrovert. We have Susan Cain, the author of Quiet, who one of the kind of it's the book out there about introverts and extroverts, and can't wait to have that conversation with her. We actually talk a little bit about that with Jenny and Tori. So be sure to check that out. And if nothing else, let's just get right to the episode. Thank you guys for coming. How much money do we have to pay him to come on? I'm just kidding. I'm just curious.
Zero. Not a lot.
No, I'm a big fans of you ladies. I go so far back first of all, I was mad because my parents didn't let me watch 90210 back in the day. and I had a big crush on both of you guys. I remember I was listening to you guys' podcast talking about the show, and it had such a role on my life when it came to fashion, how I wore my hair, sideburns. You guys were talking about sideburns. Oh my God. Like I couldn't wait till I could grow facial hair so I could grow sideburns, just like Dylan. But like, do you guys feel like you were responsible for like fashion trends growing up or being on the show? And like, what was that experience like? Because I've always wanted to be that cool.
Tori definitely will take credit for a lot of things in that realm. Personally, I'm like, I'm not responsible for anything. I don't want to be responsible for any of it.
We didn't know that we were responsible till it all came back. And then literally walking through Target and seeing like, oh, I wore that. Donna wore that. Kelly wore that. It was like, oh my God, it's all back. We're trendsetters. I think you know you're a trendsetter when it comes back in, or just you know you're old when it comes back in.
I think it's, yeah. The
I think
part.
Chokers we really did create though, because we used to craft a lot in our dressing rooms. And we used to go to Michael's and get like charms and stuff and have ribbon and create them. So I think we should take credit for that. At least that.
All right. Okay. Fine. We'll take the choker credit.
You don't, like 90210 was so big, right? I mean, you guys, pop stars, like, I mean, it was everyone knew who you are. Did you not feel that type of fandom when it was filming, or when did you two realize just how big of a deal you two were? A serious question. Is that
when they let us out of the stage, when they unlocked the stage doors and let you out after 10 years?
Yeah. Well, because we were like kept in captivity for 10 years filming the show. So we weren't really, you know, privy to what was going on in the outside world. But no, seriously, when the show, I think the second season, when the show started to really take off for the summer episodes, was when I think the whole everybody involved with the show was like, whoa, okay, this is taking a hold. People are liking this.
Was that how big of a surprise was that?
I don't think we knew what to expect. It was a first for all of us. Like, yeah, it got crazy. And I think a lot of the times we were like, oh, it's just the boys. Like, we weren't sure it was us that they were excited about, but it was the whole thing.
It was the whole kit and caboodle.
We're able to look back and appreciate it now. But at the time, I think until the show ended, we didn't take a moment. We didn't even breathe. Like, we worked like 15, 16 hour days, and thank God we were young. Like, and when it was over, we were able to step back and be like, oh my gosh, that was a huge part of history that we just created.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it wasn't until recently that Tori and I, since we started 90210 OMG, the podcast, we have not watched the show back. We've never sat down and watched from beginning to end all 278, whatever episodes there were. So we've started with episode one on season one, and just like watching it now as fans and learning, like looking at it with a different perspective has been crazy, like eye-opening.
It's insane. We're actually like big fans of the show. Like, we're fan thrilling each week.
Yeah, totally. Oh
my God, we love it. What's happening next week?
Yeah. The show is so good.
It's so good.
Like, who are these amazing actors?
What's that? I know.
Their skin is flawless.
That's great.
So, we take a lot of time to appreciate the flawless skin and the beautiful bodies we had, and like, yes. We take a lot of time with that. So, yeah.
Obviously, it was a show based in high school, and you guys talked about, you know, a lot of the things that go on in high school. But, you know, back in, you know, the 90s, talking about things like sex and, you know, some of them, you know, quote unquote, more taboo things. Like, for example, like reasons why, I mean, I wasn't allowed to watch shit when I was a kid, but like, those were kind of the things that like parents, you know, it was still taboo. Right. And, you know, we're a very sex positive show on this podcast. And I think more and more we're normalizing some of these like conversations young kids should be having. What was that like back in the day when the show was discussing some of those things that weren't so openly talked about in society, like sex in high school and things like that? And did you guys feel like a pressure, or do you look back and think, well, I'm glad we did that, and feel a sense of pride behind that?
I think at the time we didn't realize. Again, we were just going so fast and furious. And we were, you know, high school girls ourselves. So there were probably a lot of giggles in between takes, like, ooh, this is stuff we don't discuss. But I don't think we really realized till now that we're parents, like, these are great topics that, you know, teens should be discussing and confiding in their parents and watching together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that we've all both, I know personally, I've always had a very strong sense of pride about what the show did and all the subject matters that we covered and all the people that we probably helped to just even open up the conversations about sensitive things with. So for me, I've always been really proud of that about 90210, about the messages that we put out there.
It's just like one of those things, like I said, and sometimes to be the first to do those things, and you guys, it's not fully appreciated till later on.
We feel like we did do that first, and it was really topical and really important. And I feel like 90210 kind of was included in the teen, like my dad did all of his shows, they called it Jiggle TV. And so it was kind of just the teen version of that. And it's like, but it wasn't, it dealt with really important topics, and it was never really acknowledged for that.
How did being so popular back in the day, like affect in terms of like how you two, you know, went out and dated and your love lives early on? And was it a challenge, you know, versus, I guess one thing I was curious about too is, did you guys watch the Britney Spears doc recently? Right. And a big part of that conversation, whether you watched it or not, was how, you know, women, young women were treated in the late 90s and early 2000s. Some of the questions that were asked and the pressures versus, you know, male stars. Right. Did you two ever notice that, or did you ever have like interviews back of that you reflect back and be like, why was I asked that? Or why was I treated that way versus, you know, some of my, you know, male co-stars?
Absolutely. I mean, I can remember just random interviews with people that I idealized, like Chevy Chase had a talk show once, and he was like my comedy hero, you know, Caddyshack. I mean, so I remember doing that, and I just remember feeling uncomfortable. Like I don't remember specifically what it was, but there were so many things like that that just would be so different now, because we were so young, and it wasn't no spotlight was put on, like, you know, the differences between how people deal with women and men. And now we're so aware of it, and it's so amazing to see everybody waking up and having like this awareness about it.
How old were you two when you were like at the height of the show, when you first started filming?
We started young. I started when I was 18. Okay, and yeah. You started when you were 17, right, Tor?
You were younger.
Nope. Really? She likes to point out that she's younger than me by a year.
1 year, but you were younger when you started. I think we were like 16, 17.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Gotten my license.
17, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Because I was driving too, so 17 and 16.
Yeah, so and like you were getting questions like who are you dating and things like that, yeah. And your personal like love life.
Yeah, plus like we still get that shit. Like the worst questions are like, how do you juggle it all, being a mom and having a career and being a businesswoman? Do you ask men that question? How do they juggle it all?
No, because they can't do it all. Sorry.
That's okay. I mean,
it's a fair statement.
I'm aware. That's why I haven't had kids, you know, can't do it. Nope. No, I'm just kidding.
So it's still happening. It's still happening out there.
What about you, Tori? Any like memories from back in the day or specific interviews where you look back and be like, what the fuck? Like, why would I
mean, definitely. I definitely put a lot of worth and weight on my appearance, bad or good. And like behind the scenes, it was hard. Like it was really stressful. You felt like you were in competition, like you had to be the sexiest. I mean, probably the reason I wore, people joke about it now, like, you know, the midriff tops was because I was like, okay, you know, I have to like look great and I want to show as much body as I can. And definitely like I remember doing the Tonight Show and doing it with Jay Leno and I wanted to look cute and sexy. And we did like a love game, like love match, like a dating game. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. And now, you know, we're raising strong women. And I feel like my voice would be really different now than it was then. Cause that was all I knew how to play into was like, be sexy, be, you know, a girl.
Be what they want.
Yeah.
Are those things that you know, you're both mothers. Like, what are some of the things that you are instilling in your kids now based off the things that you two have experienced in the past?
I just recently watched Dirty Dancing with my 14-year-old. And I think that the message of that movie is nobody puts baby in a corner. And so I teach my kids, don't let anybody put you in a corner. And I think that resonates with them on a whole nother level now.
Definitely. They're already ahead of the game. Like their generation's so different. They're so much more confident. And that, you know, by our means, like that's fine. If we had to go through that so that we could teach them how to not be that and that they can do anything, then so be it. Cause that's our jobs as mothers. You know, you want better for your kids than what you had or knew. Mm-hmm.
Do you two think about what it would have been like to have social media be what it is today when you two were, you know, 17, 18 filming the show? Are you glad social media didn't exist what it is today? Or do you wonder, or do you wish you had it? Or do you wish that was another platform?
I wish we still didn't have it. So, I mean, but geez, things would have been so different. We didn't have cell phones when we started our show. There was no internet.
So screwed. So screwed.
When I say there was no internet, it literally makes me sound like a 100-year-old woman.
It was like still this time of the beeper.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean,
barely.
Well, hopefully you guys will be getting out of the house and flying in airplanes. And if you do, you're going to need something to do without having to pay for that shitty Wi-Fi that's always on the planes. And you can do that with Best Fiends. That's right. That's what I've been doing on my free time, playing great puzzle games and then obsessing over the soup's cute characters. Chrissy is the Best Fiends master. It's the only thing in life that she's better at me at.
I'm playing Best Fiends right now. I'm the slug killer, Nick.
You're so into Best Fiends that you didn't pay attention to the dig, but that's fine. You'll have to.
No, I did it.
Listen
I was
to
too
it
busy
back.
Feeding brittle.
I think we've sold it because Chrissy is not. She can't do her job because nope. She's playing Best Fiends. Good news is she's getting smarter with all the brain games. Best Fiends, there's something new today and tomorrow and every day because literally thousands of levels to play and counting plus tons of cute-ass characters. So if you never get tired of solving puzzles, I know I don't, that's better than trying to figure out your girlfriends or boyfriends, you know? Figure out puzzles instead. Good news, Best Fiends, the fun never ends. And you don't get to blame me if you become slightly obsessed. Download Best Fiends today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends Without the R, Best Fiends. Best Fiends has the world full of lovable characters, thousands of levels, and more content gets added all the time. And I've been playing since I started podcasting. True story. Story worth. The key to life is telling a great story. I mean, it truly is. And the best stories we can possibly hear are the ones from our parents or our grandparents. I know it is for me. My dad's stories around the old dinner table about his brothers and sisters and how they used to convince their sister that she was adopted so much that they had to have their parents leave their cruise and come back because the babysitter quit. True story, actually.
Oh my God.
Always loved hearing that one. Dad was able to document it through Storyworth. Storyworth is an online service that helps your loved ones share stories through thought-provoking questions about their memories and personal thoughts. It's a fun new way to engage with family, especially those you can't see in person. Every week, Storyworth emails your family members different stories and prompts questions that have never been asked before. And it gets them to think about these crazy times in their life. And then they can document those stories and share them with their loved ones. Storyworth has helped numerous families learn about each other in profound, special ways, and their testimonies will practically move you to tears or laughter. There is no shortage of surprises when reading the weekly stories. After 1 year, Storyworth will compile all your stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book that is shipped for free. So get that story documented and gifted to the loved ones. Give your loved ones the gift spending time together wherever you live with Storyworth. Get started right away with no shipping required by going to storyworth.com/VIALL. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That is storyworth.com/VIALL for $10 off. Tori, you said you guys would have been so screwed. Is that because you're just glad things weren't documented?
Oh, yeah.
Any stories?
Yeah, I mean, that and also just being teenagers, like suddenly having the power to just post something and people will go crazy over it. Like now, you know, we curate it. We have learned, we're wiser now, but a teenager with like the freedom to post and getting millions of people looking at it, that would have been scary, I think.
I'm assuming your kids are on it.
Or not do you, really.
No?
Mine are. Older than hers, but have 14, 18, and 23, and they're all on it now.
Do you have any like specific rules for them?
No.
Just
I'm a terrible mother.
She has such good girls though.
Nonsense.
I try to just trust. I know that I've done a good job with them and I trust them now. And I'm just here to kind of clean up the mess if something bad happens.
Yeah. I mean, you know, social media creates a lot of anxiety for everyone, you know, especially like the pressure to look good, feel good. I mean, we have too much access to too much information. I couldn't imagine. I'm with you too. Like, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to be 17, 18, and 19 and have social media and the access to everyone's opinions about myself.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's so much pressure on kids these days with all of that. And I definitely see it reflected in all of my girls. And I just do everything in my power to combat it and like show them a different perspective because they're seeing that all the time on their feeds. And it's a lot.
But just think the silver lining, though, would have been we wouldn't have had to use Facetune then, though.
Right. Because,
we were young. So that would have been great.
Yeah. Do you use it now?
Hell yeah. She doesn't.
I do. We all use it. Everybody uses filters of some kind.
Filters, yeah.
To make it look prettier. You know, everybody wants to look better.
You both look fresher. Wonderful.
Life is a filter.
But it's interesting though, because like when you guys were filming the show, you know, social media didn't exist, but because of you two being, you know, on 90210 being the big stars that you were, it's weird because now like everyone with social media has this like small little taste of people's opinions and things like that. And you two had to deal with that, right? Like you two had to, you know, I'm sure you were in, you know, all the tabloids and I'm sure at times that can be exciting to get the attention, but again, all of a sudden you get the criticism. And like, how much did that affect you in young adulthood in terms of, you know, we weren't even talking about things that didn't exist back in the early 90s, or at least what we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about anxiety. We didn't talk about mental health. We didn't talk about depression. What was that like? And because everyone deals with that, right? Everyone nowadays, we're more open about it and with social media, but like having access to all the thoughts, you know, creates that for ourselves. Did you feel like anxiety and depression and mental health struggles when you, because of the inevitable like criticism that came from being a public figure? And how did that, you know, play a role on your young adult life? And how does that play a role as parents?
I mean, first of all, what you said about there being an awareness about it now, which is so, it's so great. It's like the best thing ever that people are talking, because you're right. We didn't talk about any of our troubles, any of our challenges. We all just tried to like cover it up and be, you know, be okay all the time for everybody else. And now, I mean, if you don't go to therapy, you're kind of weird. So I feel like it's so wonderful. But to your question, yeah, I can remember a time in the early years of it all. I developed like agoraphobia. I wouldn't even leave my house. And I know, you know, we've all had our challenges with things like that. Tori and I have like PTSD about the sounds of a camera shutter, like, you know, the sounds. We found out that we both have the same trigger for that PTSD. And it's the sounds of like a camera. But so we always think like when we're walking around that we hear the shutter going off in the bushes. Years,
we found this out because people told us we were crazy our whole lives. Like, you mm-hmm. know, if you're with friends and you're at lunch and you hear like, you're like, did you hear that? Do you see that? Because they hide.
So yeah. Do you see somebody?
You hear it.
Yeah.
And I remember friends would be like, what are you talking about? Not everyone wants to take a picture of you. I'd be so embarrassed. I'd be like, no, I didn't mean that. I really hear it. And then sure enough, the next week, the picture would come out.
Yeah, they like, jump out of the bushes. I totally. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah. We got so shamed for that realization, though. Yeah, for our fear of camera sounds.
It's real.
Oh, totally. And I can only imagine, again, like we have that now, right, with cameras, but you know, the fascination with people never, it's not like that didn't exist, but like, you know, now with social media, it's abundant. We have all these different people to follow and, you know, like TikTok stars and YouTube stars and movie stars and TV stars and musicians. And when you guys were doing 90210, I couldn't imagine that pressure. I couldn't imagine, you know, like again, bring the call back to that Britney Spears doc. And that was during a time when you two, you know, were experiencing that. And just the, you know, it talk about PTSD. Like I have it from my time on The Bachelor, and that was just a fraction of mm-hmm. just a microcosm of what you two women had to deal with back then, and the intention and the criticism and with the pressures. And then like you said, you know, Jen, if you broke, you know, if you showed any kind of vulnerability or stress because of that, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, something's wrong with them, or look. Yeah. And then people like to talk about that. And I truly couldn't imagine what it was like to be in that time period and be a star.
It was pretty isolating. I mean, something Toy said, like we, because there was no platforms and because we were working all the time, we were kind of sheltered from a lot of it in a way during the work week, you know, mm-hmm. because we worked, you know, 16, 18 hour days every day. So we weren't like out there experiencing it, and none of us had our phones in our hands, like learning about it moment to moment. But I think that it's definitely something we suffered. I know I personally suffered in silence a lot and just sucked it up and dealt with it on my own. I had, you know, like one or two friends that I could confide in that would help me through stuff, but it was definitely a different time.
Yeah.
What was that? We both watched the Taylor Swift documentary, mm-hmm. and she said something really important and eye-opening to anyone that's experienced it, that celebrities are stunted from the age they become famous. I'm not saying the exact words, but Jen and I both were like, oh, yeah, emotionally stunted. You do it. Something does change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can't express that to people, because anyone else, if you said it at the time, would be like, oh, boo hoo, you know, for you, you're yeah. famous. Like, so you would just keep it inside, but you would feel like, I am different, but I can't talk about it. And I'm going through stuff, but I'm supposed to smile all the time when I go out. And mm-hmm. you weren't allowed to have a voice, you know, you had to just be perfect because we didn't have the platforms. So you couldn't tell people, you know, here's how I'm feeling, or here's the real me. All they saw was what they saw on TV and then what the tabloids put yeah. out. There was no in between.
You couldn't control any of your narrative
at all.
Again, like a fraction of it, like the people who like the reality TV of it all. And then having the social media creates that anxiety, but the helplessness that you two are describing, it's a bummer. Also, like, was it a challenge too when you were like, Jenny, you mentioned it too, and Tori, obviously you guys were in high school and you were young and you had your friends, and then you went on TV and you guys became friends with each other. Was it challenging for you two to maintain the friendships that you had before being on the show because of like, you know, like, and I got it too when I went on the bat, you know, the aunts and uncles be like, I mean, what, do you think you're a big deal now? I'm like, no. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know.
Well, that kind of stuff is good, though, because that keeps you grounded. And that
for
keeps
sure.
you, like, you know where you come from. I think that there's a certain aspect of that that's really important. But, you know, you're asking about, like, friends kind of fell off that couldn't really relate and that we couldn't feel like we could relate to any longer. Mm-hmm. And not because we were better than them or our life was better than theirs. It was just we were in different places in our lives yeah. and experiencing different things. And that's why I think that we all, the cast, bonded so much at that young sort of formative age, because we were all in this situation together and we could all really relate on that level. And nobody else kind of outside that bubble could understand it like we did.
100%. Still to this day. I mean, when we all get together, we talk about experiences that no one can really relate to.
Amanda wants you to know that whether you're sleeping or sleeping with people, Helix Mattress is the one for you.
Yes.
Great job, Amanda. We're pro.
Good job, Amanda.
Pro. We're pro sleep and sleeping with people on this show. And I can confirm that I do both on my Helix Mattress. And I got to say, really great. Helix.
It's sturdy. It's good.
Whether I'm sleeping with myself or sleeping with other people, or I'm sleeping with myself.
See what you did there. I got it.
I usually don't sleep with myself in bed, though, if I'm being honest. I'm a stander.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all learned about that now, didn't we?
TMI.
Is your shoebox in the bed next to you?
Anywho, Helix Match has... I can't even talk. Helix Sleep has a quiz.
Which position is your favorite sleep position?
Which position do you like to make love in? Helix Sleep will match that with your needs. Maybe for the men in your life, it'll help them, you know, dig deeper,
oh, yes.
as they say.
Yes.
Helix Sleep. I myself, side sleeper.
Oh.
Get the best mattress in town, and Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders, and now two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/VIALL. That is helixsleep.com/VIALL for up to $200 off two free pillows. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will, so don't worry about that. GQ Magazine and Wired Magazine has named Helix the number one overall best mattress picked in 2020, so don't take my word for it. Take everyone else's and get that mattress that fits your needs at helixsleep.com. If you like some fancy goods, I'll tell you what, Public Goods has it all. Public Goods came to my door. I was like, oh, it was so perfectly packaged. The unboxing, even for myself, was a delightful experience. Olive oil, toothbrushes, chocolate-covered almonds. I mean, it was just such a great thing. I mean, if you want to gift to yourself, gift it to the people you love. It was truly a great experience. Public Good searches the globe to find clean, healthy, eco-friendly, and innovative products. Because I'm a homeowner, I have a guest bathroom, and I put the wooden toothbrushes in there for my guests, whoever they are. And honestly,
the bamboo.
I feel like a goddamn rock star from it. Rather than buying from a bunch of single product brands, Public Good members can buy all of their premier essentials in one place with one beautiful, streamlined aesthetic. Knowing what's in your product and where they come from is important. Small changes in the way we shop can make a big impact on personal health and the world at large. They use their member model to keep costs low, important, and pass on their ever more savings to their customers. What a win. Best of all, you can make your first purchase with no obligation. The one-stop shop for sustainable, high-quality, everyday essentials made from clean ingredients at an affordable price. Everything from coffee to toilet paper and shampoo to pet goods. Public Goods is your new everything store, thoughtfully designed for the conscious customer. I worked out an awesome deal just for my listeners. Receive $15 off your first Public Goods order with no minimum purchase. That's right. They are so confident that you will love, capital L-O-V-E, their products and come back again and again, that they will give you $15 to spend on your first purchase. Plus, right now, receive your choice of either a free pack of bamboo straws or reusable food storage wraps with your order. You have nothing to lose. Just go to publicgoods.com/VIALL and use code VIALL at checkout. That is publicgoods.com/VIALL to receive $15 off your first order. My people I'm on the Bachelor franchise with, and you know, there's it's a little different because they cast so many people every season. So there's a lot of different groups of friends. But, you know, for the people I made friends with, mm-hmm. There's a therapeutic aspect of it, yeah. Just to be able to get it out and not have people roll their eyes or snark or judge or whatever. And then we can mm-hmm. make fun of, you know, and it's a safe space where we can feel like we could tease each other and reminisce without mm-hmm. judgment or criticizing, where people, you know, look, you know, or without us looking over our shoulders and kind of, you know, again, with you two, it's so much bigger and so much more popular. And
I think it's so important that you find those people in your life and you find that support in whatever your situation is, that you find the people, the inner circle of people that you can really trust and like relate to. And you know that they're always going to be there for you. That's why, I mean, Tori and I have such a long lasting and such a fruitful relationship, because we do come from similar, you know, we've had similar things happen to us, and we really know that we can trust each other no matter what.
It's crazy that we're still finding out things that happened back then, and we're still learning, like as we're getting older, we're still like, oh, remember that? Mm-hmm. That's why we felt this way or that. Mm-hmm. And it's always evolving. But sorry, yeah, I think we are the closest out of everyone.
Do you any of those? Are you able to share any of those stories that you remember or reminisced? Or Tori mentioned like things you guys just remember that happened.
No,
that
like we were talking about the PTSD, yeah. From like the shutters and talking. You know, we've talked recently in the last few years about what it was like to be a female back then, yeah. And how mm-hmm. you know, everything on the outside was your self-worth because you didn't know that. It was okay to be smart. It was okay to be, you know, you didn't get it. So
we didn't even know who we were. Like we didn't, yeah. Yeah. For so long. I think now as Tori and I are in our 40s, we're like, oh, that's who that's what I want. Oh,
yeah. I mean,
okay.
It's kind of sad to think, you know, like you said, like the Tori, you mentioned like the pressure to more hypersexualize and lead with that and feeling like you couldn't talk about some of the other stuff that you were interested in.
I mean, we didn't know on set, you know, the boys were our like world. It was the girls, the boys, that was all we had. So when guest stars would come on and our boys would be talking to like the guest stars, the females, you know, we were always super nice, but we were like, had that feeling like, wait, why are they talking to them? Wait, look at us. We look great. Like, it was like, cause we didn't know.
Remember when I won't say names, but remember, it just came to my memory of when they would, you said before you wore midriff shirts to like, because you were new, like I am a slamming body. So I'm going to show it off because mm-hmm. I know that works and that's what people want. But remember when the guys would be like, take their hands and put them around your waist and try to like touch their fingers together around yeah. your waist.
It was like a party trick. And I was so proud of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, then when your body, as you get older and you have kids, changes, you're like, wait, but I was famous, or they can put their hands around my waist. Now I'm like, what? But
that doesn't matter.
I mean, would never happen now.
The fact that that happened, or that that was something that everybody like gathered around for and watched happening, is just mind blowing to me. Yeah. Then we were like, ha ha ha, so cute and funny. Yeah. Look at it.
You're even saying at the time that like you didn't even think that anything was wrong with that.
Yep. No.
There's so many things we didn't think there was anything wrong with. Ooh.
And these were just like random people on set, just like grabbing.
Random people.
Not random castmates.
Okay. I was just like, Jesus.
Because we were like, oh, this is fun. Like, this is the party trick. Look.
Oh, man. So, I mean, and now, you know, obviously things are changing. Are some of the things that you, again, learned in about that, like, are you guys instilling that into your children today in terms of like setting boundaries and you know, things that like trusting your gut and saying no to things that don't make you comfortable?
My kids are so aware now, like they're so sensitive to any like body shaming or toxic male toxic energy. They're so on another level that, you know, my husband and I joke, we're like, he can't say anything where they don't call him out and say, "Ooh, you have toxic male masculinity," or whatever.
Oh my god!
And we just laugh about it now because we're like, "Yeah, well." It's interesting to see how that they almost don't need us to tell them how amazing they are. Or I mean, mm-hmm. they do, and of course we do, but like they're so much more like on the ball than we were. I feel like.
Jenny, you've been very open in the past, obviously someone who's been married and divorced before, and we, you know, have a big audience of women who, and people call in, and whether it's getting divorced or an engagement broken off, we definitely try to normalize on this show how hard it is to find the one, right? You're mm-hmm. one person, and even if you do, how challenging that can be, and if you get it wrong the first time, that's okay, you know, and you've been an inspiration, I think, to a lot of people for finding love and continue to look for love and being open about it.
She found the one. I'm right here.
Yeah.
That's my wife right there.
Yeah.
But how was that a struggle for you? Did you feel the pressure when things didn't work out like a lot of people do? And how did you go about, you know, not getting too down on yourself and continuing to, you know, look for what you know you deserved?
Oh my God, that's a whole nother podcast, Nick, which that's like, there's so much there. There's so many layers there. But I mean, Tori can relate too. She got married very young, as I did. And we both decided that wasn't the right move for us and got divorced, married someone else. I mean, everybody's journey. I think that's so cool about the listeners, probably most of your listeners, is that we're all that same sort of mind and that same sort of age where that you've made your mistakes. You've had a lot of ups and downs in your life. And now as grown adults, I think the best part about growing up is the ability to share those triumphs, because none of them were actual fails. They were all triumphs, even if they didn't work out at that time. I think that that's the best part about just aging. And then the best part also about being able to use platforms like this and have a microphone in front of you and like being able to share your story. So there's just so much to take away from all life experiences. And I've definitely had a lot. Tori's had a lot too.
What she said.
They sound like Richard Marx. Richard Marx kind of said the exact same thing. Yeah. I love it.
And Tori, you obviously had your the reality TV show, or you and your husband so kind of open about the relationship. And is that something that you liked being, you know, like you're obviously a very authentic person and just kind of putting it out there? Was that a challenge to be that, or did you have to make that choice? And looking back, I'm assuming there's a lot of people who are appreciative of kind of what you shared, because kind of like what you two had mentioned, like, you know, back in the day, in the early 90s, there was that pressure to be perfect, and there's less of that now. I mean, you still have it now, right? But anytime we see people that we admire or look up to, that we're fans of, and we see that vulnerability, it can be very inspirational to a lot of people, because we all have crap. We're like, we all have, like, everyone has a family, and whether your family is still together or not, like, everyone's got bullshit in their family. Everyone's got, you know, rivalries and frustrations, and there is no perfect family, and there's no perfect marriage or relationship. And I'm assuming you've had a lot of people appreciative of your authenticity, Tori, especially in the reality TV show your husband shared with the world.
Definitely. I mean, at the time, I felt like it was the right thing to do just because I wanted to control the narrative. I think in Hollywood, we're kind of conditioned, especially since we started so young, to not say anything. You know, your teams will tell you, you know, say nothing, it'll go away. And that typically is the case. With that one particular instance, I felt the need, because I knew there were so many other women that probably could relate to what I was going through, that could, hopefully it could help. And it did. So I am happy that I took back the narrative and kind of told my own story.
I have a lot of respect for Tori because she is an incredibly authentic human being. A lot of people don't know that about her, and they just assume and, you know, see what they see and make their assumptions and their observations, but she's so incredibly authentic. So I think that she's used those platforms as a way to, it's almost been like therapy for her and getting her to where she needs to be in her life just by talking about it, you know, with other people. And her fans love that about her. And like, they love to feel like they can relate to her, even though their circumstances are so different.
Yeah.
Thank you. It really helped give me a voice, knowing that I was supported by women everywhere that had gone through the same thing.
That is, I guess, the nice thing about social media these days in terms of controlling your narrative and being able to be vulnerable. And there is we talk about even in your own relationships, like even with your partners, like the more honest you can be about the shit that bothers you, that you're insecure about, and have that person be like, yeah, I totally get it. And not judgment is like, that's when you feel closer or most accepted. And you even fans and people on the street, just to feel a little bit damaged and have people be like, yeah, me too. You know,
right. I know it's being vulnerable. I think in life, but especially in a relationship with a partner, is about being vulnerable and communicating that vulnerability and being okay with it and like not being ashamed of it, and just being curious about like, why am I feeling this way? And why, you know, why do you get defensive when I feel this way? And I think that's just about being real with each other and then the world, you know.
How close are you guys with the rest of the cast? I know you guys had the reboot and that was a lot of fun to watch. Yeah. And is that something that kind of you all shared more stories, or is it you two kind of just hanging out most of the time, or does the group get together on a somewhat regular basis?
It's kind of been off and on. Yeah. Like over the years.
Not for any reason, just, you know, life circumstances,
yeah.
Kids,
busy,
different,
yeah.
You know, when we were doing the show, we were together all the time. And then we all went off and did other things. Mm-hmm. While we all maintain friendships, it's not always easy, you know, just like real life, to catch up with friends, you know, that are off doing different things. So the show was literally, I mean, it brought us, we were in summer camp, we would call it. We were all in Vancouver doing the show together, away from our families. It was
adults.
The coolest experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a great time. Tori and I actually roomed together. We learned finally what it was actually like to really live together, not just on TV. And that was really eye-opening and fun.
Anyone get
annoyed? You still love me, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I love you more.
Being roommates is not the same as being friends.
No, that's no joke. No joke. Being a roommate is like being married.
Yeah, you can be great roommates and not good and not even friends, and you can be best friends and terrible roommates.
It's so true.
Yeah, we were definitely not compatible, but somehow we made it work.
Not compatible, not
it was
the best
odd
roommates,
couple, yeah. But you know, it worked out.
What was the most annoying thing about one another? Just to indulge the audience, because none of us are perfect. I mean, I leave cabinets open and my girlfriend fucking hates that about me.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
I'm super messy and unorganized, and she's super clean and super organized.
Harder for Jenny. I'm more like you, Tori. No, I mean, I say that, Tori, because I'm more you, and I it's just like the burden we put
it
on.
It was a win, because I would come home, and she's like, I unpacked for all your you. Suitcases, and yeah, win for me.
Yeah.
Unpacked all your suitcases. I was like, why you didn't have to do that? She's like, I couldn't look at it anymore.
Well, it looked like it's like eight suitcases like exploded all over our tiny little two bedroom apartment everywhere. And I was like, this is the common area. This is not your area to destroy.
I mean, it's very true, Jenny, though. It's the key to being good roommates is the common area.
It is. Go do you over there behind that door. I don't want
to
know.
I tried
about
to shove it all in my room.
You did.
I didn't have the master suite.
It didn't fit.
But I also I appreciate Tori, because like when I try on like a shirt and I decide, oh, I want to wear a different shirt, I just take it off and I'm not really sure where it lands or what happens to it. It just terrible. Kind of goes somewhere. And then I go on and then four shirts later, it's like a tornado hit, and I'll worry about it later. I don't know if you can relate to this, Tori, but like I know it's fucked up and I know it's annoying, but I don't know how to do anything about it. Like
when I do, I know how you do something about it. You turn around, you bend over, and you pick that shit up.
It's
not in my brain capacity. It's how my brain doesn't work that way. Like
that's such a cop out.
No, it's not. It would be like having to do a long division for every shirt I try on. It hurts my head.
What he said.
And I'm good at math, but I don't know.
Listen, you guys can justify it all you want. Go ahead.
No, it's not okay. I'm with Jenny.
Clean it up.
You know what, Tori? Look into human design, Tori. We had a human design expert on our podcast, and she told me that the reason I don't do that is because I am too busy focusing my energy on things that I think matter more.
That's true.
And so I might leave my shirt on the ground in a cabinet open, but I'm working on world peace. And I feel like Tori is probably also doing something as noble, and that's why she can't do that. So
maybe she's not as busy. Noble, but there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
Are you an overthinker, Tori?
I'm a big, like, I multitask without writing things down, so it's like all in my head constantly. So I'm like, what's next? So the shirt, and then it's like, okay, we got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in all fairness, Jenny and I were co-creators of the show, executive producers.
We had a lot going on.
On our plates, yeah.
We were doing a little bit of everything. But she managed to get it done still.
But we're just different. Like, we're wired differently. That's how I deal with my stress. And like, that's how I process stuff, is by keeping things tidy around me. Because if things aren't tidy around me, I can't think well. I can't perform well. I can't be my best. So I've learned what works for me. You have a different approach.
Yes. If things are not chaos around me, I cannot think and perform and create my best.
And love it. See?
And that's why we work. We're yin and yang.
I'm Team Tori, but I appreciate Team Jenny so much.
That's okay.
My favorite would be, like, literally the longest week we had been filming. It was like back to 90210 days. We were like the same hours, but in our 40s.
Too old for that shit.
So like filming to like 4 a.m. So we would get home, and then as an actor, you've been working all day. You're like, you can't go to bed. Your mind's still going. So we'd have wine and we'd put on a movie. I'd be like, come just relax. And she'd be like, I just have to finish like cleaning the counter, the grout in the counter. Like,
God, you make me sound like a psycho.
No, she's just clean. But she was like, she had made dinner, and she was like, I just got to get this clean.
You're welcome.
Before. Thank you.
You're the Monica Geller of the family.
I guess so.
The world needs you, Jenny.
The world needs things.
I appreciate it so much, because I don't know how to do that. But Chrissy, my girlfriend's like that. Chrissy's like that. And
I will never go to bed with a dish in the sink. Never.
That's hardcore. I used to be that way. The one thing, one of the things that my mom told me when I was probably in my 20s, because I probably really did develop like OCD and like different ways of processing and dealing with all of the shit that was going on around me all the time. So my mom probably noticed that. And I remember one of the words of wisdom she gave me was, because I would just always be cleaning instead of enjoying the moment or being with the people in the house, or, you know, I just keep busying myself all the time. She said, the people in this room are so much more important than that dish in the sink. And I was like, yeah, sure. But years later, now I take that sort of more to heart, and I slow my roll just a little bit.
Before I let you ladies go and we play this fun game called Do You Know Me? You guys have obviously a great podcast out there. I know you mentioned it. I listened to it. It's fantastic. Do you want to share with our audience a little bit more of what it's about and what you ladies are talking about?
It is called 9021OMG. They can go on Instagram, 9021OMG podcast. And we are rewatching our show starting back season one. We're going to go through all 10 seasons. We've never watched it together all the way through. And it's filled with that and like commentary, and we go off on tangents and stories because that's who we are.
Yeah, it's full of, it's chock full of OMG moments for whatever they may be about. But those are fun to talk about. And also we're about to do our live wrap party. We decided to have a wrap party for the first season because that's what you do when you get through a season, when you make a season of TV. So we decided to have a wrap party for season one.
One of you were on The Masked Singer and one of you was on Dancing with the Stars. Was it Jenny, you were on Dancing with the Stars?
Right.
And Tori, you were on The Masked Singer. Mm-hmm. I did Dancing with the Stars. I had a great time. Did you have fun when you did it, or was it more not as fun? Because it can be, it's really hard to do.
It was a lot of pressure. It was really hard. I'm an introvert, so stepping out into that spotlight is not easy for me and will never be easy for me. So it was really, really hard on me below the surface. But I did have fun, and it was an amazing experience, and I'm really glad I did it.
She did so well.
Yeah, you were in semifinals?
It was, yeah. I was like, please vote me out, did you, somebody.
You wanted
please.
To leave?
I remember when you said that, and then she kept going.
I was like, please, please don't vote for me. But
did you want to leave Masked Singer, Tori, or were you hoping to go all the way?
No, so that was the scariest experience for me. One, because singing is a huge fear in my life. When I was young, someone told me I was tone deaf. And even though I love singing, it kind of shut me down from even singing with
my
friends.
Oh, my God. That'd be so, yeah, for sure.
It stuck with me. And I love singing. And like what Jen said, people don't think this of actors, but performing in front of a huge audience, even speaking, is terrifying for me. But it helped me knowing that I was behind a mask.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, okay, you know what? No one's going to be like, oh, it's Tori Spelling, so I'm going to judge her. Like, because I go into things thinking that way because I've had that perception my whole life. So it was kind of cool. So I was like, if I do well, great. You know, if I don't, it doesn't matter. But by the end of my run, I was like, I want to stay. It was so fun. So scary, though.
One of my best friends did The Masked Singer as well. And he said it was maybe one of the most freeing things he's ever done, because you're covered and that stigma that is automatically put on you as a mm-hmm. performer is eliminated. And you're just able to have like the most freest time doing it.
Which is kind of like what I love about, I mean, there's not a lot to love about COVID, but the one takeaway for me is getting to wear a mask out in public all the time. I am telling you, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. I feel like people are always staring at me. It's internal in my mind. I just feel more comfortable covered up. And from, you know, when, like the other day we were at Neptune's Net in Malibu, you know, that place by the ocean mm-hmm. getting fish, or we were having lunch, and I had a mask on, and there was a lot of people in line. It was pretty crowded, and I had a mask on, and I just said to my husband, I was like, I could not be standing here and not having an anxiety attack without this mask on. I'm so grateful for masks. That's my point. So wearing a mask to sing is a great thing.
Jenny, I said the same thing to my girlfriend about 2 weeks ago. Where I'm
did
just
you?
Like, yeah, there is a level of like comfort just to like uh-huh. wear a mask and just
and it's warm
people watch.
And cozy. Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you're an introvert. Is that something that I've actually kind of realized about myself, that I have a lot of introverted qualities that I never realize, and actually next week we're having Susan Cain of the author Quiet, who talks about introversion and extroversion. And it's been a really eye-opening for me to kind of learn about myself. Have you always known you were more introverted, or is that something that you kind of realized? Because I think back in the day, it's interesting about her book. She talks a lot about just how extroversion was seen as the what you want to be. It's like, you know, younger, you're supposed to be right-handed. If you are left-handed, you're somehow, you know, you need to switch. Did you? And so there's this pressure to be extroverted. Uh-huh. Did you always know about yourself, that about yourself, or?
You're so true what you just said. I always felt bad. I was made to feel bad or wrong. Bad.
What's wrong with you? Like, why are you quiet?
Uninteresting. Or like not fun to be around. And I was like, I'm sorry. This is just who I am. And doesn't make me, I'm a fun person. If I know you and we hang out, trust me, I'm a fun time. But it takes a minute to get there.
Yeah. And did you ever have people ask you, why aren't you having fun? And you're just like, what are you talking about? I am.
No. This is my favorite. You ready for this one? You should smile more.
Yeah.
You know what? You should fuck off. That's what I say to that. Sorry. I don't know if you can say that, but.
No, you can.
What am I here to spot? Smile for you? You know, so that's a whole another story. But I think that everybody wants to be an extrovert, but I think it's kind of shifting now and people are getting a little bit more centered, hopefully. And people are learning that we can be both. We don't have to be one or the other. And I think it would be really awesome if all extroverts took a moment to say, how am I an introvert? Like, let me look at that, because that in there is the interesting like stuff that maybe you can learn a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. I'm really interested to talk with her about that because you know, there's a spectrum, right? In terms of, you know, you can be an extrovert and have introverted characteristics and vice versa. I'm kind of split on them. So I feel like as I get older, I'm becoming more introverted or just embracing my, you know, aspect of it.
I think that happens, but like it's not wrong or right, whichever you are. But I think that kind of acknowledging or like accepting what your tendencies are makes you sort of embrace them and then feel good about them no matter what they are.
Yeah, totally. Which one are you? So are you more introverted or extroverted?
I'm an extrovert, but not by choice.
What do you mean by that?
It was kind of conditioned because when I was younger, people would make assumptions about me, like who my dad was. Like, oh, it's Tori Spelling. She's going to be mean. She's going to be a bitch. She's going to be difficult on set. So I felt the need to go out of my way, even though I'm a super nice person, super friendly. I was shy back then, but I would go out of my way to smile all the time, please people, to the point where that's now who I am, but inside it's not who I want to be. And so actually Jen has helped me realize that as I've gotten older, that you don't have to please people all the time. You don't have to be so outgoing that it's like wearing on you and sucking all of your energy. And that's something I still go back and forth with because I'm still in that mode of like, everyone like me, but inside I'm like, I just want my kids, my friends and family to like me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That happens. Sometimes you get shoved into the, what you're supposed to be like, what people like and to be an introvert and be in this industry is challenging to say the least.
But I feel like there's probably a lot more introverted actors and performers than not. I mean, like, you know, I know Ellen DeGeneres has been in the news and all that stuff, but like, I think at her core, I mean, forget about the work office stuff, but like, you know, I've met her seems like an introverted person, you know, and people read that and you can still be funny. You could still, as an introvert, want to go out, or you can still want to interact with people. Like I love going out and then I love going out and then having my small groups. Right. And then talking to those people and then and then I really hate when people walk up to me and like tell me that I should be dancing or doing it. I'm just like, why?
I mean, it's interesting because you, as introverts, your goal is to seem like an extrovert so that people will like you more or understand you better or something. But I think that it's really interesting that people that are, I kind of feel like when I go to work, I'm an extrovert. Like, I turn it on. So it's being an extrovert is actually my job. Like, I get paid to be an extrovert. And then when I'm off hours, I go back to being an introvert and like being comfortable in my own skin.
Doing the dishes.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Teach me.
Teach me.
Are you ladies up for a quick game before I let you two go? All right. We play with all our guests. This is called Do You Know Me? It's real simple. I'll ask basic questions. You know, does Tori and Jenny, have they ever done this? Do they do this? Do they know how to do this? Don't answer right away. It's me, Chrissy. We have also Amanda and Allie, my two social syndicate assistants, all around great people. And we're going to guess.
Great people.
We're going to guess. So don't answer. And then we'll decide who knows Tori and Jenny better. And if you have anecdotal stories to your answers, please share. No pressure. You don't have to. Do You Know Me with Tori Spelly and Jenny Garth? Question number one. We'll start off easy. Can Tori and Jenny speak another language fluently? Can Tori and or Jenny speak another language fluently? I don't know how. So I find this to be an incredible feat of strength if someone does. I mean, I don't know. I'm gonna say Tori knows how to speak another language and Jenny doesn't. That's what I'm gonna guess.
I'm gonna say the reverse.
I think both of them speak high school level French.
Yeah, I was gonna say like well, but not fluent.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ladies?
I don't speak another language fluently. I understand Spanish fluently, but I don't speak it.
Well, you understand? Well, that kind of counts.
Oh, yeah.
It's more than me.
Yeah. Or if I pretend to understand Spanish just so I can pretend like I know what people around me are saying. And then I just nod my head a lot, but I feel like I understand them.
Tori?
Same. I took Spanish all throughout high school, so I used to be able to speak pretty well, but now I can understand it, but I can't speak. But no French.
No French.
No, we're French. We're not that interesting.
We don't speak French.
High school level French. That was
I wish.
One. All right. Question number two. Does Tori and Jenny prefer talking on the phone over texting? I'm gonna say yes to both.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We prefer talking on the phone rather than texting. We win. It's the exact opposite.
Hell no.
We hate talking on the phone, both of us. It's like a.
Oh, you like texting?
I have literally a fear of the phone. And she doesn't like me either, so it's a perfect. No.
Like
friendship.
To each other, you don't even prefer on the phone?
No.
Not really.
Stop.
I don't
I'm
to her.
Shocked.
Nope.
This is the biggest news coming out of this whole thing.
It's very, very difficult to get either of us on the phone.
Yeah.
We're on Zoom, so I feel special.
It's different. Right. It's not the phone, though. It's different.
Yeah, I like Zoom better than
phone. Yeah, way better.
Question number three. This is a little more hard-hitting. Amanda picked out these questions, so I apologize in
Nick
advance.
Nick loves, before he reads anything sexual, he always makes sure to attribute the blame to me.
All right, bring it, Amanda. Let's go.
All right. Has Jenny and or Tori ever fallen asleep during sex?
Ooh.
No. I'm going to say no.
Were there dishes in the sink at the time?
What if I edit it and instead of falling asleep, yawned? Yawned during sex.
Yawned.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah. They've been working all those crazy hours.
They work so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boys do it. Girls can do it too.
Falling asleep?
Definitely fallen asleep during foreplay.
All right.
Tor, go ahead.
No, I mean, we're both actors, so even if we were tired.
Act like you like it. Yeah. Act like you're not tired.
Super awake. Awesome. Loving it.
Well done. Good. Well done, Tori.
That's amazing.
Question number four. Has either Jenny or Tori cried in the last 24 hours?
No.
I'm going to go with no.
I'm going to say one of you two has. I don't know who.
I think I'll say have.
Both. Oh, I've cried.
Yeah. I mean, I watched Yellowstone, and honestly, a little tearjerker. The end of season two really got me.
I watched a video on Instagram about this little baby fox that was crying and abandoned and then got rescued. That
made me cry. There we go.
See, we both cried. Big crybabies.
What did you cry over?
Oh, jeez.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Goddesses cry.
It was not a fox. It was a wolf.
The fox say,
let's see what else we got here. Has Jenny or Tori ever vandalized property?
Don't.
Yes. Yes.
That reaction makes me think yes too. I was gonna say no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that one of them is key to car.
Key to car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Like really key
like
to
a Carrie Underwood like
over
song.
A guy. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
No. Oh, I want to do that so bad.
It's never too
that
late.
Would feel really good. What do you wait? What do you guys like classify as vandalizing? Like
kind of anything. I mean.
Spray paint, hitting a mailbox.
Any aggression to property.
Yeah, any aggression to property whatsoever out of anger. Even if it wasn't noticed by many people.
I don't think you have you?
Intentionally, I thought you were going to say that when Musso peed on the rug in our apartment.
That's not vandalizing. Yeah. not unintentional because you let him pee on their rug. But, okay, this is something I've done that I can remember. I don't know if this counts as vandalism, though. One of my girlfriends was poorly treated by a boyfriend, and they broke up. And so I have a really big dog, and she takes really big shits. And I might have put her poop in a brown paper bag and left it on someone's doorstep once. Is that vandalizing? I don't know.
I don't know. Bravo. I don't know, but it's worth a clap. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely worth a clap.
I feel pretty good about it. I'm not going to lie.
No regrets.
Not a single one.
He deserved it.
He did.
Do you know if you stepped in it or not?
I don't know. But I also put a little extra in his mailbox.
Great.
Just so, because I knew that would get really stinky. So when he opened it.
Good for you.
And then he finds one, like, and he's not going to expect the second.
Yeah, yeah. The gift that keeps on giving.
Final question, and probably the most important one. Can Jenny and or Tori touch their tongue to their nose? I have no idea.
How would you know that about somebody?
Or you're going to have to try.
No.
Can I? Nope, not even close.
I can't.
I feel like one of, can you, either of you two? Allie, can?
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I haven't.
What does that say about a person?
Like, I don't think anything. Like,
I feel like your tongue is long.
Right? You have a really long tongue.
Like, you can either curl your tongue or you can't, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. I can do it.
I can't do anything with my tongue.
I just touched mine.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah. I can do something with my tongue, but.
Correction. Anything. Tricky. Never mind. Forget it. Just leave it alone.
The boys in Montana are like, bullshit.
Ain't that the truth? No, just kidding. But I do have a very short tongue. That's it.
I don't know. I don't think I could touch my... But I can do this. Look.
Whoa. Whoa.
No, it was go two ways. Like,
ooh. How do you do that?
You look cute while you do that.
Talent. I don't know.
Damn you.
Can't do that.
I'm going to say she can touch her tongue. Yeah. Her tongue turned.
Does anyone want to try?
I've seen it.
I can't do it.
No. Oh, damn it.
No.
I have a long tongue, but.
She has a really long tongue, you guys.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
It won't
that
go up
really
there.
Long.
Go push your nose down.
Yeah, I don't think that counts. Close.
Oh, you
so close. Ooh, I just tried so hard it hurt.
That was maximum TMJ. Effort.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.
And that's a no for you, Tori, obviously.
Nope.
Not even close. Ladies, thank you so much. It's been a ton of fun. I really appreciate you indulging our questions and being so open and honest. Please check out their podcast 90210MG, available now wherever you listen to podcasts. So when you get done listening to this, go click over, subscribe onto theirs. And thanks so much, ladies. We appreciate it. And as you guys always, thanks for listening. Send your questions at asknick@castmedia.com, cast with a K. We appreciate you listening, and be sure to tune in next week for a great interview with Susan Cain, the author of Quiet, to talk about more of introversion and extroversion, introverts, extroverts. Which one are you? The history behind it, and why are we the way we are? It's really just about me, so I can understand myself a little bit better. So,
amen. Anyway.
Ladies, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Bye-bye. Bye. Have a great weekend.
Bye.